I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And Dennis is Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. And he's here to help me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Someday I'll just get a chat GPT, but for now we've got Dennis. No, just kidding. He's irreplaceable. Come on, no way. Artificial intelligence, I mean, it's going to blow us all up, but we'll get to that later in the show if we have time. let's get to your calls, though. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We've got Richard, believe it or not, out in California. Hey, Richard, thanks for calling in. What can we do for you?
Yeah, thank you for taking the call. I'm originally from Connecticut, but my nephew who lives in Farmington, Connecticut, gave me the contact number to give you the question. But I have a question reference to a blocked Gmail account.
Yes, sir.
I put in my, and this has happened a couple of times in the past, and when I put in my password, there was never a problem. But now they won't accept my password. I tried three previous passwords without success.
Oh, boy.
And finally, they blocked me and said that it will take a month before they will able to prove that it's me. They want to be sure it really is me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I when I go to the restore process for my email, they will send you a code. I have two emails. One is Gmail and the other one is Yahoo.
Yep.
And they said they would send me a code, and they never sent me a code. And it's to a phone that I have with a 787 area code,
yep.
Which is from Puerto Rico, where I used to live prior to moving to the Bay Area in California.
All right. So let's start here with the fact that they are sending you a code, but you're not ever getting the code.
Correct.
So what that means is, as far as I'm concerned, I think your email has been compromised by somebody else, and that person then changed the 2FA to send the code elsewhere. Right? If you're not getting it, it obviously means it's going somewhere else. Yeah. And you can configure your 2FA on your account. And this happens in any other application, too. If the bad guy gets in somehow. Now, it's weird that they were able to defeat the 2FA, but my thought is they probably were in your Yahoo account first or something to that effect. It depends on which account they compromised. If you can compromise the Yahoo account, then you'd get the 2FA to get into your Gmail account. And Yahoo is, again, these are both quote-unquote free services, right? So my guess is the bad guy compromised that one first, and then when he logged into your other one, he's like, oh, hey, I'm getting the 2FA for Richard. That's my guess. So the thought might be that you may want to consider a real email account going forward. Like a Proton Mail, something that's a little more real where you pay for it and it becomes more formal. These days it's becoming kind of ridiculous to keep using these free email boxes because the security is pretty poor and most of these companies have been already hacked in some way and the passwords have been released.
Yeah, I mean, there's been breaches all over the place, especially with Yahoo. Yeah. There's been multiple breaches over the past 10 years. So,
and if you use the same password on both mailboxes, that also would be part of the problem. I mean, what password did you use, Richard?
Do you want me to tell you the password that I used?
Sure.
Oh, I got so many of them, I can't remember. I'm sorry, I just don't remember the
password. That's okay. If you told me, I would have stopped you anyways. That's usually how the bad guys get in. They simply ask for your password. They could have phished you. They could have phished your Yahoo account. They could have phished your Gmail account by saying, what's your password? Or they could have said, hey, we want to authenticate you to your mail system. And it looks like a Gmail authentication, and you type it in, and you literally are giving the bad guy your password. So being locked out, you really have no power. You know, Google has their process.
Yeah, and I have heard of the month-long lockout. Hmm. And I don't think it's because it takes them an entire month to, you know, resolve the issue.
Imagine.
I think they're forcing everybody that's trying to get into the account to back off and wait.
Right.
And then whoever persists is probably going to be the genuine account owner.
Right.
So that's why that delay is in place, I think.
So that's a good thing that your account is
right.
Unquote,
it's good
locked.
For you. It's a real pain in the neck that it's going to take that long, but it's good for you.
But going forward, consider a real one.
Okay. And so how do I get a real one?
So Proton is the one we recommend. It's actually a Swiss company. And it's
Proton?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Fully, it's all encrypted email.
I think the domain is proton.me.
Correct. And we'll put a link up there for you to look at it.
Yeah.
And really, folks, you guys really should consider this. All of your digital life is connected to an email box. And in some cases, you're still using AOL or Hotmail or Gmail or, you know, it's you're literally just an accident waiting to happen. And of course, if you're reusing your passwords on these services too, because you know you got in a long time ago and your password was whatever it was, ice cream or something silly, if that ever got breached where you logged into a service and you use that password, the bad guys are just looking on the dark web for all the passwords that have been breached, and then just logging into Richard's email and saying, "Oh, I see he uses the password of ice cream here too. I'm in your email now."
Yeah, I've changed my password on Gmail account multiple times.
Right. Somebody got it.
What does Proton.me, how much does that cost?
It's not too expensive. I don't have it off the top of my head. Go ahead, dude. Did you know?
I don't remember the price.
It wasn't too much.
It's kind of a trivial amount of money.
Considering your whole digital life is connected to your email system, right?
Yeah. I've got important emails that I'm not getting.
Right.
Well,
really important, including medical information, and it's just very frustrating.
And the other scary thing is, Richard, is the bad guy is reading them, or had been access to reading them, right?
Yeah.
And so what happens then is that they can then do further damage to you by tricking you by acting like they're your medical provider and asking you for more information.
Yeah, yeah.
So when the bad guys get access to your email, it's really a bad day. So,
yeah.
I don't have any way around it as far as dealing with the lockout that I can think of.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your help.
Very, very much. Thank you, Richard, for calling in, and good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, you know, this is a common issue, right? Whether you're running any kind of mail system, number one, have 2FA enabled, and he did, sort of. He had 2FA enabled through Yahoo. Yeah,
correct.
And it wasn't going anymore. It wasn't going to him anymore.
And then the alternate to that was a phone number that
obviously was changed too.
Yeah, yeah.
So once the bad guy gets access to your account, and I think the only way it was possible was because the bad guy had access to Yahoo. I mean, it had to have been. He was getting that second factor. Ugh, it's just awful. Let's go on to Joanne in Windsor Locks next if we have a moment. What's going on, Joanne?
How do I roll back?
How do you roll back your operating system?
From 11 to back to 10.
Well, you had a very limited time limit.
Ahead, I know. Dennis. It's only been a couple of days.
Well, let me... okay. What you're going to do is open up the Settings app. And then you're going to click on Update and Recovery. And then over on the left, I think there's an entry called Recovery.
Okay.
And in there should be an option. Here, let me... Okay, system recovery page on the right side. All right. If you go to... Sorry. If you go to System in the Settings app and then Recovery,
right
on that page, you should see a Go Back button.
Okay.
And if that button is not clickable,
it's too late.
You aren't going back.
Okay.
If it's clickable, it will ask you a sequence of questions. But what you're going to do is, first of all, it's going to try to convince you not to do it.
Do you really want to go back, Joanne?
It's going to ask you why, and then it's going to say, would you rather check for updates for Windows 11 rather than go back? And you're just going to say, no thanks. And then you're going to click next and next.
They're going to say, give me another chance, please. You're literally
going to have to get past all of these little hurdles that Microsoft is going to throw. But I don't even want to tell you what all the language is in these questions because it could change.
Right.
And it might be different on your computer than it is in mine right now. But what you want to do is just refuse each of the objections to going back, and then you should be able to go. And one thing I want to tell you is that rollback process can take some time. We're talking a couple of hours in some cases, even with an SSD that should be fast.
Yeah. It's still Microsoft bloatware being reverted back.
It also is copying
all the saved settings from the config before.
It's copying almost the entire Windows partition, and saving it in case you want to get any of that data back. So it is a benefit to you. It's just a lot of time that you're going to have to wait for it to finish. That's all.
Okay.
All right, Jimmy. Why are you going to go back? Just curious.
Because it was accidentally that I hit okay.
Oh, that you upgraded?
Yeah.
Okay. If you haven't really had a reason yet to go back just because of the accident, you have gone forward. You probably still have some time, like Dennis mentioned. Was it 15 days, Dennis? Before you can't go back.
It's 10 days.
10 days. Yeah. So my advice would be to maybe look around, see if it works rather than undoing it just for the sake of undoing it.
Okay.
I know that might sound silly coming from us, but you really haven't given me a reason yet to why you want to go through that 2 hours of pain and go back just because they tricked you into going forward. But
well, I like 10.
Sure, sure. Yep.
Well, 10 is a great operating system. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie about that. No. It's really good. But
11 moves the furniture around a little bit. It takes the little start button and moves it from the left to the center.
And you can't move the taskbar to the top or side of the screen.
Yeah. So you have to learn about it. So it's up to you. I'm just curious. You can do what you want.
Okay. But I do have Proton Mail, and I signed up for it the very first time you mentioned it.
Gotcha. So you've got a nice secure email, and you've turned on 2FA with that, right?
Yeah.
Good. Good. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Joanne. Good luck reverting back.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. So she's got something to do this morning. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Four to five lines here, wide open. Feel free to get online. I know it's going to start raining, and you're trying to do whatever you can before it does. But 860-522-9842 is the number. No matter where you're calling on the planet, even in California, we got a call today. You can go ahead and give us a ring. We'll do our best to help you out. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com, so you don't have to remember the links. And you can get right to the stories we talked about and shake your head like we do. We'll be right back. We are back. I think it's a little more Taylor Swift again. Because Carolyn's going to be going to the concert this weekend, so I don't know. All her songs seem to sound the same so far. Just kidding, Carolyn.
Well, this one has a little guitar in it,
So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Yeah, we were talking a little bit off air about, artificial intelligence. And there's a lot of that in the news, right? And, all the godfather of AI is saying, I don't know what I created here. We should stop this. And there's some guy testifying before Congress saying, we should pause AI. And, heck, I've seen all the sci-fi movies like everyone else, right? But I also lived through Y2K.
Oh, yes, so did I.
And that was a big nothing. I mean, we did some things were impactful, well, but they scared the crap out
honestly,
of the public.
Honestly, I was going to say it was a nothing, but it was also a disaster.
Right, yes.
And it was a disaster precisely because it worked up a lot of people right. over nothing.
Right. There are speakers that are still in this studio that have a Y2K OK sticker on them. I kid you not. It's right up there. It's right up there. Guys.
Oh, yeah.
That's how crazy Y2K was. Now, we also, you know, COVID, we can discuss whether or not the what we did through COVID, global warming. You know, we're going to change the temperature of the planet by a degree. Oh, AI. AI is going to kill us all. That's where they're going now, right? AI is going to kill us all. You know, had I just been born yesterday, maybe I would think that too, right? AI is, oh, it's so scary, right? We're going to have a Terminator scenario. They're going to, you know, blow us all into smithereens. However, I would contend that having AI, let's just use the example of our state treasury, where the state treasury, had they just put and invested in index funds, we would be $27 billion richer in Connecticut, less taxes, more affordable state. And if you had AI helping those ding-a-lings that said, hey, did you realize you're getting your butts kicked and you're doing a really crappy job? Maybe we should invest in this. Maybe we'd be $27 billion richer because the actual intelligence in that department wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Maybe artificial intelligence would have been helpful. And you can apply that across all sorts of things, right? I mean, we did a webinar with two-factor authentication that we use for our clients to secure their systems called Duo. And that technology uses AI to understand impossible travel, right? So if I log in and have a 2FA thing on my phone where I say, hey, I'm here in Connecticut, when I click on the 2FA, and then, you know, 3 hours later, somebody in Uzbekistan tries to connect in, well, I couldn't physically get to Uzbekistan. Right. So the 2FA is like, well, clearly that's somebody hacking into the system. I'm not even going to bother allowing them to try. Right. That's artificial intelligence. So, you know, all this talk of pausing AI, and Elon's been talking about it and all these guys have been talking about it. Number one, cat's out of the bag, kids.
Yeah, it's here already.
Right. What are you going to do to pause it? Are you going to ask everybody to pause it? Do you understand state-sponsored terrorism exists? So what are you talking about here? Who's going to be pausing it? Only the people who are law-abiding or who are cooperative. So I'm not sure that makes any sense. And to freak everybody out about AI is so Y2K-ish to me. It just reeks of Y2K.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, the other aspect of this AI thing is everyone's freaking out about being displaced, right? Do you need a financial advisor when you just ask the artificial intelligence where the best returns are? You don't even need, they can, artificial intelligence can go through the entire financial advising, you know, offerings out there and just say, well, here's the one that wins. You don't really need anybody to tell you. The system can tell you. So there's a lot of concern, I guess, about displacement. But from what I've read, if you look back at the, you know, past 40 years, I think it's like 90% of the jobs that existed 40 years ago don't exist anymore. They're all different jobs.
Right.
And we somehow survived.
Well, I remember back in the 70s and 80s, there was talk about how robotics was going to replace people
right.
in manufacturing.
And it has.
It has. But now the people that are working in manufacturing
right.
are managing the robots, programming them,
right.
repairing them, working with them.
Right. They're not being crippled with having to take their little fingers and put this little thing right. on. The robots are doing it
right.
for
the
you.
The robots are now doing finer work,
right.
better, faster.
Right.
So that people can get more done.
Right.
Same number of people, more or less, are getting more stuff done.
So we'll be talking more about AI, obviously, but my feeling so far is that this is a very Y2K-ish scenario here where everyone's planes are flying, going to fall out of the sky if we continue with this AI. And I just don't buy it yet. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? But we'll see what happens. So Jeff and AJ, hang on. We got two lines open for you guys, but you guys hang on. We'll get back to you after the break here. And hopefully, you know, Skynet's not, you know, listening and going to shut us down. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. And we are still live over on the Facebooks. And if Zuckerberg deems this show worthy, you might be able to get it in your feed. If to make it more worthy, feel free to like it, make, you know, comments, whatever. Then Zuckerberg thinks you're watching. We'll be right back.
T
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, here till 11 o'clock. And then Dr. Alessi will be in, and he'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. We were just talking about that with AI just before we came back on the show. If you think about like reading radiographs, right? You've got doctors. Actually, doctors used to read them. Now I think they chuck them over to India and have some doctors in India read them rather than doctors here. But imagine if you could have AI read them and it would see your cancer or your issue much faster and much sooner. You don't have some blurry-eyed guy in the third world trying to read your radiograph to tell you whether or not you have an issue. You just have the AI read it and say, bing, bing, here you go.
Well, you could even have the AI weigh in on the picture.
Right.
Let's say... So the doctor isn't just looking at an X-ray.
Right.
The AI can maybe flag a couple of things in the X-ray.
Yeah, look over here, buddy.
Point over and say, what do you think of that? Or what do you think this is? Or whatever. And it gives the doctor a little more to actually process when they're looking at it.
Yeah, so I have seen more positives for AI than negatives so far.
Yeah.
Again, until my refrigerator literally eats me. Then we'll have to change. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Middletown and Jeff first. What's happening, Jeff?
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Hey, first off, love your show.
Thank you.
You guys are not only is it a value add, but it's just interesting. I'm an IT guy, so it's all good stuff.
Thank you.
I just want to share something with you.
Sure.
Real quickly, I got a new machine at work. They upgraded us.
Yeah.
And because we were telework 4 days a week, a video camera and Teams are very important.
Yes.
Well, I get it home and, after driving to get it, fire it up and I went into Teams to try to put up my custom background on it and wouldn't recognize my camera. Couldn't find it. Device manager, nowhere. It was like the camera did not exist.
Oh, okay. Not helpful.
Well, no. Here's how I fixed it, though.
Yeah.
Oh. I had a thought. And I never knew this. I did it on a hunch, and it worked out. I rebooted the machine. It's a Dell Latitude 5523.
Yep.
Did the F2 trick when the splash screen came up, and I went into the BIOS.
Yes, sir.
And right under the BIOS, there's in one of the categories, there's a checkbox for enable cam, and nobody checked it.
Oh, interesting. Good eye.
Why would they even have that checkbox?
I don't know.
But yeah.
I can't hazard a guess why. It's the first BIOS I've ever seen that has that option.
Yeah.
I can't remember that either. So it would be news to me, too.
Yeah, maybe privacy reasons or what have you, but I've never seen that checkbox in my life.
Wow. All
right, so I sent a full, instructions on how to do this back to the IT guys, the support desk.
Nice.
And I don't know I'm not sure exactly how pervasive this issue is, but when people try to use their camera in Teams, Windows itself can't even see it because the BIOS won't let it.
Right. Yeah. If the computer doesn't know you have the appendage.
It's effectively not there at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. thought it was interesting. I just wanted to share that with the crowd.
Well, we appreciate it. That's first I heard of that, so I really appreciate knowing it.
Yeah, low level. This is like, so just so you know, folks. I mean, this is low level stuff, right? We most of the time in the help desk, you don't assume that the system has got a camera showing there, but it's been not enabled. That is pretty counterintuitive. So thank you, Jeff, for finding that out and telling us about it.
Yeah, welcome. And one last thing too.
Yeah.
You were talking about AI before.
Yes, sir.
And I agree, it does whiff a lot like Y2K.
Doesn't it?
But the one concern I do have is the people who have created a lot of this stuff, they're not sure exactly how it works, and that always makes me a little nervous.
Okay, yeah, and then you can apply that to almost everything, right? You had some ding-dong in Wuhan in a lab making something that they didn't really know how it works either. You know, I mean,
look how that worked.
Yeah, exactly. But we're all here still, so, I mean, you know, it's I don't know. I think
I agree with you guys. It's a little too much hysteria, but at the same time, we don't need a Sorcerer's Apprentice situation either.
We don't. But so my default life approach is not to be afraid, right? I mean, I grew up as a Gen Xer. The default life approach for me is I'll take the risk. Let me take the risk and don't have government, you know, swaddle me and whatever protections or have the media freak me out with all, you know, hide under your desk in the case of a nuclear bomb. Does that make any sense to you, Jeff?
No, and I'm with you. I'm also I'm the high end of Gen X, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm not scared to death of this. I'm not wet in my bed and staying up late at night worrying. I'd like to know more about how it works. That's all.
Exactly. And we'll find that all out. But unfortunately, these newer generations, their default approach is, can I get a bubble and wrap myself in it, please? And that's not helpful.
God, no. I don't even get me started. That's another hour's worth of discussion.
Yeah, it's a whole different program, I know. But AI is very technological, so that really fits right in this wheelhouse of this program. So I'm going to say I'm not afraid right now. I mean, until we're proven otherwise, I think it's going to help and solve a lot of the world's problems. You know, Elon, I trust Elon, and if he thinks it's something to be worried about, maybe we should be. But then again, he makes cars that you can't put them out when they catch fire or they run into the back of emergency vehicles constantly. You know, he's got his pluses and minuses too, you know?
Well, Stephen Hawking
yes.
was also firmly against artificial intelligence.
Yeah, he was.
He's a bright, bright man, but I didn't quite agree with him totally, but he makes some pretty cogent points.
Well, then that's great. So then what kind of human hubris do we have to stop it? I mean, we can't, you know, we think we can do 1% changes in the global temperature, and we think we can, you know, stop a virus from virusing. I don't know where we get this power as humans that we have this all these abilities to do all these things when we can't figure out even how to make highways that work. We can't figure out how to have our treasury here in Connecticut actually invest in proper returns. We're going to stop AI? Really?
It was ever since Al Gore invented the internet, you know?
Exactly. So, I mean, more power to us, I guess, but we continue to make the same mistakes over and over again, and maybe AI can stop us from doing that. Right? Maybe if we had some AI involved and it said, hey, human, you're about to blow yourself up. Can I stop you, please? I mean, that might be helpful. So, I don't know.
Well, me either. We'll find out.
Yeah, very good, Jeff. Well, thank you for that insight on the camera.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Hey, keep up the good work, man. You guys are the bomb.
We'll try. Thank you. All right. So we're going to step out for a quick break here. AJ, Nadine, Sheila. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here till 11. Let's get to your calls as fast as we can there. We went a little long with our last caller, but it is what it is. Let's go to AJ in South Windsor first. What's happening, AJ?
As usual, you guys are keeping me company on my morning walk.
Awesome.
And I don't care what WTIC management says. I think you're doing a great job.
What have you heard that we haven't heard?
What?
Jeez. Okay.
Hey, before I get to my question, I saw a T-shirt that says, "My password is the last five digits of pi."
Right. That's a good one.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, two-factor authentication.
Yes, sir.
I've got a couple of accounts, a few more than a couple. And one sends the second factor to my email, and the other send it to my iPhone.
Yep.
And so my question is on Proton, I assume they would send it to my phone also, or do you have a choice?
Well, you probably have choices right now. They have authenticator options. You can send it to, you know, Google Authenticator, the Microsoft Authenticator, your phone, email, all those things are there for you.
Are the apps worth it?
Well, the thing about having your phone number or your phone getting the text there is that your phone can be SIM jacked. So if you have, let's say $1 million in fake crypto money, right, the bad guys want it. They're gonna spearfish you, and that means go directly after you. And then they're gonna go and figure out, okay, AJ's got an iPhone from Verizon. I'm gonna go ahead and talk to my Verizon insider, and I'm gonna have him simjack his number so that when the second factor comes in, it's gonna go to my phone instead of your phone. So phones were great, but again, having the mobile companies do security is probably not the best idea. And using authenticator style apps, or like the apps we talked about with Duo. That we use in a professional way, are probably more secure than a number being texted to you.
So what would your preference be for a private person?
For a private person, Authenticator would be a good way to do it. Also, you can do a physical Yubico key. That's pretty hard to hack, I'll tell you. A physical Yubico key is on your person, and literally it's plugged into your computer. I'm showing you up against the camera here. You plug it into the computer, and then when you go ahead and log in, you have to tap the key that you're the one tapping it. Bad guy can't really defeat that very well.
How do you spell that key?
Yubico. Y-U-B-I-C-O?
Yeah.
Oh, Y-U-B-I-C.
Y-U-B-I-C-O.
I-C-O.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
We'll put a
All
link
right.
up to
we'll
those.
We'll put links up.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's it. I'll see you guys next week.
All right. Make sure you put in a call to management and change their minds.
I'll do my best, but right. I have a lot of clout with them, you know.
Sounds good, AJ. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's go on to West Hartford and Nadine next. Hey there, Nadine.
Hi. I have a question regarding Proton Mail.
Yeah.
So I do use Proton Mail, as you recommended it. And mm-hmm. so my concern is, I'm starting reading about Proton Mail. I got a little confused.
Yeah.
Is it actually encrypted if I send a mail, email from me in my Proton Mail account over to like Gmail for somebody else to read a message?
They'll be able to read the message, but it is encrypted within the Proton Mail system. But once it exits to Gmail, then it may not be encrypted anymore.
Well, that's the thing. That's when I that's the point. Like then when I started getting confused, and that's why I called you guys. So if you want to have somebody respond to an email from me to Proton Mail over to Gmail, like if they were going to give me some message about like, oh yeah, here's your blood test or whatever. And so then do you then have to send a code from the Proton Mail thing? It's that's when it got really confusing. What?
It is. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not exactly 100% on it myself. So when they respond to you, to your Proton mailbox, that response is encrypted on your side, right? But Gmail may be able to see what they responded to you with, right? But within the Proton Mail system, that is completely encrypted, right?
Okay, great. That's what I was so concerned about. Like, I was like, do I have to send all these passwords?
Nope.
And so actually I use Authy as well because I have a for the set, the second confirmation thing.
For 2FA, you mean?
Mail.
For 2FA?
Yeah.
Yeah, Authy. Yep.
Yeah, because I'm just trying to protect as much as I can. So everything that you guys tell me to do, I do.
Okay. All right. And it's all good until it's not. So understand that our advice is as good as it is until it's not, so that we don't.
Well, no, I understand as well. And that's why I keep listening. And I go up to your website to check, like, oh, what's changed now or whatever. You have to stay alert about everything, right? So
yeah.
I just every Saturday I listen with you guys to say, oh, what should I be doing now?
Well, I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad it's worked out for you too. We do our best. I mean, we eat our own cat food.
Yeah, if only they would all change the bank to have everything with two authorizations, that kind of thing as well. None of the banks seem to have it at all.
They're supposed to, and a lot of the ones that I've been involved with do have 2FA. You have to enable it in some cases. In some cases, they force you to enable it, but they should force it.
Well, the thing as well, you can also say, oh, no, I don't need to use this this time, so I'm not going to use it again. And like, what?
So
it'd be like everybody chooses that you have, like, you know, that you should have the option not to be able to say, like, oh, no, I don't want to really want to use it because somebody could hack in that.
Well, I hear you. But if you have a trusted device, right, if it's a trusted device, you can be comfortable that you don't have to keep doing 2FA to a trusted device. If you want to be super secure, you would not turn on those trusted devices and force the 2FA. I mean, if you're worried about somebody literally sitting on your computer and physically are accessing it as a trusted device, I hear you. And that is a way to defeat 2FA, right? There's caching that occurs and stuff like that the bad guys can use to try to defeat that. They wait for you to authenticate it while they're on your system. It's we're all battling. We're trying to stay ahead of the bad guys, the bad actors, as it were. Mm-hmm. So turn it on.
Turning is going to be my next step. I'm just trying to master that one, too.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, Nadine. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm glad she's running Proton Mail. Let's see if we can get another call in here. Yeah. Who's been in the longest here? Sheila. Hey, Sheila, what's up?
Hi. Ever since the Halloween ice storm, I've been clinging to my landline.
Yeah.
But I really should. So I was wondering what you think of a satellite phone as an alternative to a landline.
Well, it's quite an alternative. I mean, you should be able to communicate.
Yeah, it definitely will work even in the worst weather.
Yep.
But you still would have to charge it, right?
You have to be prepared, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I guess it's no better than a cell phone in that respect.
Well, I wouldn't say that because if we ever have like a vast statewide outage like we had, in that case, what was happening was the cell towers were losing power.
Yeah.
I mean, they might be running on generators for a day or two, but they were dying.
Right.
And then your cell signal is gone.
Right.
Yeah.
With satellite, there's no dependency like that.
Right.
And the satellite signal just keeps coming down to Earth from space.
I found it interesting, too, during that time where it was like gas stations didn't have to have generators on hand to pump gas. I mean, how crazy is that? That was not a thing. You know, by the way, if you can't put who sits in these disaster recovery scenarios and doesn't think about that, you know, I would assume by now. I mean, this is just me, right? But I'm just assuming that the cell towers probably have solar panels on them, right? Because they're all set to just run with the individual solar panel.
Of them did have generators.
Yes.
And those generators were running for a couple of days a lot of cases, but they were not meant to carry over for an entire week or more.
No, but wouldn't you think they've already been sold solar panels? I mean, wouldn't you have a nice solar panel and a battery attached to these things? You wouldn't need to do anything anymore.
A lot of the cell companies have done that. That's
what they've done. So, Sheila, I hear you. You'll be set with a satellite phone or not, but the landlines are going away. Eventually, you're going to just lose it anyways.
Yeah, that's the thing. Do you have any idea of a good type of satellite phone, a good brand?
Never have I ever used a satellite phone.
Never used it myself
either. I've only seen them in the movies. Sorry, Sheila.
There's one that's called Inmarsat iSat phone. It's for $89.95 a month.
Well, Inmarsat is a very well-known, very old satellite company.
Yeah.
So I would think that you get some dependability just from that. Beyond that, I don't know.
And $90 a month is pretty steep. We got to let you go, Sheila. We're running out of time here at the program. We appreciate you calling in. And we appreciate all of you guys calling in. Without you guys doing the show, we'd be talking about our kids and our cats. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live. I want to thank Carolyn for producing. Have a great time at the concert, Carolyn.
Remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
See you next Saturday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.